The world may tell us that Easter is about eggs and chocolate bunnies, but we Christians know that there would be no Easter without Jesus' death and resurrection. Emmanuel Press has just released an Easter card with beautiful artwork that confesses Christ's victory over death and his redemption of mankind. You can find this card and others at emmanuelpress.us, E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L press.us. The sexual revolution has made for confusing times, made more confusing by the fact that we are, as a society, not only being asked, but really being, in a lot of ways, required by social pressure, at the very least, if not legal pressure, to join in the general confusion, to celebrate it, to affirm it, to say what may be only one person's confusion, say, for instance, over their gender, not their sexual orientation, but whether or not they are a boy or a girl, ought to be normative for the rest of us. And if they want to change their mind, or insofar as they're able, change their sex, that should be celebrated and affirmed and gone along with as well. I've called it the war on reality, and it finds its way into every aspect of our lives, including sports. Joining us to talk about men and women's sports, Rebecca Curtis, a pastor's wife and mother of seven children. She has a master's degree from Concordia Seminary. She's co-author of the book Lady Like, Living Biblically, and a recent column for Chronicles magazine titled The Sport You Aren't Watching. Rebecca, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hello, thank you.
It's recently a story about a 17-year-old high school girl who, although the press insists on referring to Mac Breggs as a boy, a girl taking testosterone in the process of chemically, at least, transitioning toward passing as a boy, becoming a female wrestling champ in her weight division. What did we learn from this?
There are two things that really surprised me about that story when I first ran into it. The first was that the photo that accompanied it was of that girl. When I first saw it, just glancing at it and, you know, thinking, okay, they put a picture with the story, I thought it must be some stock photo of a boy's wrestling meet because that person looks male. And when I found out that she was actually the subject of the story, I couldn't even understand how anyone could look at her and think, oh yeah, she should wrestle a girl. It's patently unfair just looking at her physique. She's clearly made such changes to her body that it can't be a fair competition. The other thing that really surprised me was that there is such a thing as girls wrestling at all. I realize I do kind of live under a rock, but I was not familiar with girls wrestling as being a standard high school sport, and it really puzzled me. Of course, I do remember controversies as I was going through high school and in former years of girls wanting to compete in wrestling and boys being put in this bind about what to do about it, because I guess it's just by weight, right? But I had no idea that girls wrestling was so typical now that there would be a tournament so big as to have this come up.
So I am convinced that at every level, we're very rapidly heading toward a day when the illogic of the sexual revolution is going to kick in. And everyone's going to say, look, as a civilization, we are past the distinction between male and female. We are not going to have male sports or female sports and divide it up that way any longer. Are you similarly convinced?
Absolutely. One of my favorite expressions is that anything that can't go on won't. And I think sports is actually a very useful bellwether for this, because in the radical equality mindset, of course we have to get rid of that distinction, but what that will effectively do is eliminate all women's sports, because women simply cannot compete with men. And transgenderism is only fast-tracking that for us, because now we have so this girl is biologically female, but has chemically altered her body so that it no longer functions in many ways like a female body, and puts her at a ridiculous advantage over other normal female competitors who haven't taken these chemical steps to change how their bodies work. And so you had several girls who just dropped out, who wouldn't wrestle her. And, you know, that was taken as being a very discriminatory and bigoted thing to do. I think it was just a matter of safety. I wouldn't want my daughter wrestling against some girl who was in the same weight class but had 20% more muscle mass than she did. It's simply not safe. And that's what we're going to see in all sports, as long as athletes are allowed to declare themselves whichever sex they prefer to be and compete on that basis. It will drive out female athletes from competition just of necessity.
I think what's happened in the military and the Marine Corps in particular, they just moved the goalposts for the girls is what they've done. They've said in terms of strength and fitness requirements, there are different standards for the women than there are for the men, all in the name of equality. And I can imagine a three-point line in basketball that's moved in 3 feet for the girls who compete with the boys, and the boys still have to shoot out from the bigger circle. What are your thoughts?
Absolutely. To some extent, that's already accepted in sports. I mean, women tee off from a different point than men do. Sports have always kind of accommodated this to whatever extent women participate in them. But when we force men and women to compete together, we're going to find also that it cuts both ways. I think the military example is really important here because on the one hand, women are held to a lower physical standard. And we talk out of both sides of our mouth about this. We say, well, women are different, so they have to have a different standard. But they should do the exact same things men do. Well, that can't work. And I think the worst part of that is that it endangers men. They end up, particularly, you know, now that we want women in combat conditions also, we end up with men having to protect women or deal with the fact that women are injured at higher rates. And, you know, that's another, you know, another guy they've got to look out for, so to speak, that they don't have to deal with when it's an all-male combat unit. So not only are we being disingenuous when we talk about it and have different standards for men and women, but we're also putting a heavier burden on men in terms of their, you know, just human obligation to protect a fellow human being.
Rebecca Curtis is our guest. We're talking about men's and women's sports on this Tuesday, March the 28th. She has written recently about rhythmic gymnastics, a girl's sport. We'll find out why after this.
Greetings in Christ, and thank you for listening to Issues, Etc. If you ever find yourself visiting the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, please join us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville. We see it as a small part of our service to the church to provide sound liturgical worship opportunities for vacationing Lutherans to our area. For worship times and directions, please visit our website at splctn.com. That's splctn.com.
I like to think of the deaconess vocation as driven by two things, the love of Christ and the needs of our neighbor.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. James Buescher, Director of Deaconess Studies at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the vocation of deaconess.
First, the deaconess is moved by the love of Christ, who came not to be served, but to serve. Yet I think we can also see the profound needs around us, broken families, loneliness, despair. Deaconesses help the church to become a true family that manifests the love of Christ in our love for one another, and especially for those in need.
For more information on the Deaconess Studies program at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit ctsfw.edu or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery says, "A secular world desperately needs thinking, rational Christians." This month, read more from Dr. Montgomery and other experts on science and theology by subscribing to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's The Lutheran Witness. Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness for a special offer of $6.99 for 6 issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective. cph.org/trylutheranwitness.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Reformation approaches. A good time to ask, who are we as Confessional Lutherans? What's our heritage? The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission has produced the Layman's Guide to Theological History. Go to the clcc.org and see which of these presentations and books would be most helpful to you and your fellow parishioners. And consider becoming a member with us as the CLCC seeks to help more people know what it means to be a Confessional Lutheran. TheCLCC.org.
Law and Gospel, the Reformation Solas, the Theology of the Cross, the Means of Grace, Simultaneously Saint and Sinner. These are some of the topics covered in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity. It's written by regular guest Dr. Al Schmidt. Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity is published by Concordia Publishing House. 1-800-325-3040 or read an excerpt at issuesetc.org. Hallmarks of Lutheran Identity, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month. Folks, we're excited to hear that longtime Issues Etc. regular guest Molly Hemingway has been signed as a Fox News contributor, and you can meet and hear Molly at our Winter Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November the 10th and the 11th in Houston, Texas. This will be her second appearance at a Making the Case conference. The Making the Case conferences are the premier conferences for Lutheran laity. You can find out more about our winter and our summer Making the Case conference, June 9th and 10th here in Collinsville, Illinois, at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. You can also register issuesetc.org, 618-223-8385. We're talking about men's and women's sports. Rebecca Curtis is our guest. She's recently written for Chronicles Magazine a piece called The Sport You Aren't Watching. Rebecca, in that piece, you have written about rhythmic gymnastics. Why did you do that?
I think rhythmic gymnastics is fascinating because it is a truly feminine sport. In most sports, it's just kind of the sport exists on its own. And whereas many of them were dominated in the past by men, you know, and now that we want everything to be equal, we have women participating in them as well, usually under separate leagues or in separate segregated competition. But rhythmic gymnastics is a sport that only women do, certainly at elite levels. Synchronized swimming is the other one. But like in the Olympics, you'll only see rhythmic gymnastics for women in the United States. And I think it's pretty obvious why. It is not something that appeals to men, not only because it has a very feminine look about it. You know, there we've got sequins and leotards and makeup and such. Now, we have that in figure skating, too. But in rhythmic gymnastics, it's so exclusive to women because the primary skill that the sport requires is flexibility. And that's the one physical skill that women have more naturally than men. If you you take a girl out of band and ask her to do the sit and reach, she's probably going to do better than a guy who plays baseball or football, unless he's a kicker maybe. But those combination of requirements for the sport make it something that really is not going to appeal to the vast majority of the male population. And so I think it's a useful test study in what women's sports would look like if they really were for women, not just this thing that we try to plug women into because we want to plug women into everything these days.
This is what you write, and I'd like you to explain what you mean. You say most sports require female participants to emulate a skill set they don't have. Florence Griffith Joyner set the world record for the women's 200-meter dash at the 1988 Olympics, finishing in 21.34 seconds, and that puts her behind the top nine record times in Nebraska high school boys track and field. What's your point?
If you look at women's performance in sports compared to men's performance in sports and anything where they both compete, not necessarily against each other, but, you know, there's women's soccer and there's men's soccer, there's women's running and there's men's running, elite women compete at about the same level of accomplishment as varsity high school boys. So that's just a fact. And, you know, I'm not saying that women shouldn't play sports. I enjoy playing sports myself, but I think we need to be honest about the fact that they are different to an extent that we're just deluding ourselves if we say, well, if we give women access to this, we are giving them the same opportunities that we're giving men. We're not. Sports run on strength and speed and power in such a way that men are just plain better at nearly all of them. And so it's silly for us to pretend that we've made the world fair by saying, well, women should get to be professional athletes, women should get to be elite athletes, our daughters should go out and play soccer at the exact same rate that our sons do. We need Title IX to make sure that things are exactly even and everybody gets the same chance. We can do all that, but we still haven't given men and women the same chance because we're asking them to do something that men are simply a lot better at.
If it comes to that envisioned future that we agreed is probably at least for a time ahead of us, and that is the complete elimination of the binary distinction between male and female in sports, I would think probably it's in a short amount of time all the way up to the professional level. If we do that, what are we giving up and what are we fundamentally denying about male and female?
The whole problem is so circular. You know, we say on the one hand that everything has to be even, and in order to do that, we have to eliminate every difference. But in eliminating every difference, we demonstrate what those differences are. And so I think that it actually could be useful in the long run. When we see the effect of saying, oh, you're a man, but you want to compete as a woman, that's fine. You're a woman, but you want to compete with the help of the performance-enhancing drug testosterone, that's fine. When that drives women out of athletic competition, then we will see that it was just a bad idea to begin with, that we were being silly, and that you cannot change the world that God has made, the way he has made us, the way he makes our bodies work, and the way that we are made to interact with each other.
Rebecca Curtis is a pastor's wife and mother of seven children. She has a master's degree from Concordia Seminary, author of the book Ladylike, Living Biblically. She is author of a forthcoming column, I highly recommend you read it, in Chronicles magazine, titled The Sport You Aren't Watching. We'll give you an opportunity to read it and purchase Ladylike under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Rebecca, thank you.
Thanks so much.
There's a recent New Yorker column titled Why It's Become So Hard to Get an Abortion, kind of a review of a book on abortion. Scott Klusendorf of Life Training Institute joins us on the other side of the break to look at that New Yorker column, and I think, first of all, to respond to the premise of the title that it is so hard to get an abortion. Stay tuned. At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The fake news wars that we're experiencing right now are not going to end soon.
Terry Mattingly on his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, making the case for news discernment.
We're actually seeing a war to define what is and what isn't news. This whole thing is about the purpose of journalism and whether the classic American model of the press, with its whole emphasis on balance and fairness, is going to survive the internet age. What we'll be talking about is where savvy readers can go to get their news. We're also going to ask, what happens to American public discourse if we all keep on clicking on news sources that only tell us what we want to hear?
You can meet and hear Terry Mattingly June 9th and 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385.